I'm going to make up my mind. And before I have the moment to doubt myself, I'm going to make sure I'm like on step 5 or 6 and time and financially invested so that when that doubt comes in, I look back and I say, crap, I at least have to go through it to get this back out of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
An entrepreneurial mindset right there.
Absolutely. Yep. Just and jump and get to a point with no return as fast as possible, because then you're forced to just keep running with this. And by the time you get the first income coming in, then that new wave of excitement comes back in and that reassurance is, yeah, I can do this, I can do this. So the entrepreneurial journey is my favorite. It's energetic, it's exciting, and that's where my passion is.
Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal-getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my buddy today and my special guest, super stoked to have him here, Stephen Vetter. I just found out he's actually originally from Newfoundland, yet he's lived in Calgary forever, so we see each other regularly in person. Stephen is awesome. He's a businessman. Stephen, I like to think of you as a philanthropist, because every time I see something that you're doing, you're giving back to the community. Whether it's with your time or raising money. I know you just came off a big event, and I love that energy about you, and you have such a huge heart. He's currently the founder of Advise Me, which is he's a financial advisor. And I know that Stephen's going to give us some really great information today for business owners and entrepreneurs. Just excited to talk to him about his business journey and pull some lessons from that. And then also talk to him about some tips on how to keep the money in our pockets as business owners. And I wish we were having this conversation 10 years ago when I was running my last business. I could have used all the advice you're going to give me, I know. But welcome.
Thank you, Kelly.
Better late than never, right? To learn this stuff.
Happy to be here. And yeah, from Newfoundland, that doesn't come out very often. We moved out here when I was 5 or 6 years old. So you won't get an accent today.
So awesome. So cool. Thanks for being here on an early Saturday morning. And you know what I wanted to start with, Stephen? Because I met you when you were the business owner of a car dealership. And I actually don't know what your career path was before that. So maybe we could start with your journey and what you've done for a living, and then how you became to be a business owner of a car dealership and then ended up to where you are today. And I'm sure we'll pull some lessons out of your story.
Yeah, of course. The car thing was a total fluke. That was never part of the plan. I was never a car guy. I was actually in university at the time, and the idea was law school. So I had law school in my brain. So I was about 3 out of 4 years through my undergrad. And then I, through bartending years in my early 20s, knew a guy who was the general manager of a dealership. And so I was in an off season. We had just finished up our spring semester, winter semester. And I messaged him and I said, hey, I'm going to come sell cars for you. I don't want any attachments. I just want to come in, sell some cars, make some money for the summer. And then in September, I'm out. And he laughed and he said, okay, just show up whenever you're ready to start. Don't bother applying. Just show up. Here's what to wear. And it was probably the second week of April in 2016. And I showed up, and between April and September, when school started again, I was the top salesperson across the entire group, which was 5 or 6 dealerships at the time. So then I said, okay, I'm wearing jeans to work. I'm making lawyer money. I have schedule autonomy. I'm going to pay attention. And so I said I would give it a year. So I didn't go back to school that summer. Within that year, I took over a finance position, which is really where the whole infatuation with finances and helping people out with that came from. It was just took a real knack to it as far as structuring deals and putting these auto loans together. So I really fell in love with that side of the business. And then that combined with other leadership practices that I've been pursuing for my whole life that really stood out to the ownership team. So within a year after that, they pulled me aside and said, hey, we're opening a new store. We want you to run it. Do you want partnership? And so it was just one of those right place, right time, put my best foot forward and fall into trust with the universe and opportunities come. It was not part of the plan. It was just totally going with the flow. I ended up owning that first dealership with 4 other partners. And then within 2 years, it was completely debt-free, profiting, turning over lots of cars every month. And then so we did a second one. And same thing, but even a shorter time frame. That one was about a year to debt free and profiting every month. So it was a really cool journey. I ran those for 6 years, and then the timeline came and just got back to my roots and said I was not a car guy. And there are other industries out there. It was never an industry that I felt really, truly, just authentically aligned to. So I said, hey, I'm 33 years old at the time of leaving. So I sold my shares back to other shareholders and said, what can I do that I can have a little bit more personal autonomy with and provide a little bit more long-term impact?
Oh my gosh, I love your story. I never knew that you were starting out to be a lawyer. Okay, I have a few questions. First of all, what did your parents say when you said, I'm not going back to school?
For my whole life, my parents have just scratched their heads. They have never fully understood the entrepreneurial path. Both of them, my mom is with the CBE, lifelong CBE, started off as my lunch lady in my elementary school and then did the office admin stuff. And my dad was in telecommunications and is now currently in an investment banking firm where in the agricultural field, but both very much lifelong career employees, value stability. And so they never have understood me when I say, I'm going and taking this risk and I'm jumping off all of these cliffs, and they just shake their heads.
Oh my gosh. But it's so true. But you know what I'm curious about? Because as you share your story, I'm just thinking of the listeners, because you share it so matter-of-factly, yet that's a big deal when you have a vision. Here, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to do this. A different opportunity comes your way. You step into it. It feels right. And you trusted yourself to take that leap. That's actually not an easy thing to do for most people. It takes a lot of courage to shift direction and trust that something brand new and unknown is going to be possibly your new path. Like that, and I know so many people don't do it and then they regret it. So what do you think at that time when you made that decision, emotionally and mentally, what worked in your favor such that you did it? So that those people who are listening and they're maybe in that precipice, they have the courage to choose as well.
Just pay attention. For me, it's just always been that feeling of spiritual alignment and paying attention to just what is being presented and what is coming in front of you. For me, it was in school, I was always successful in school. However, I always had that feeling where I was doing it just for the sake of doing it, right? I should be doing this, or I should be in school and doing this or getting this degree. And it was never something where I was excited about it. So I've always been somebody who just is, it's your gut. And when you get that calling and when you feel that excitement and that pull, I might not know where that pull is coming from. And I definitely have no idea where it's going to lead me. However, I've always been somebody that just says, hey, if I'm getting that feeling of being called to something, pay attention to it. Right. And shift some of your focus, shift some energy there. And it's, if it's the right opportunity, you'll be able to start to see that and see those results and just feel that alignment come back into your life pretty quickly. As soon as the first couple steps are the hardest, right? And it's almost like you're psyching yourself out to actually take those steps. However, once you start on the path, then it's really easy to feel that that continuity and saying, yes, I'm going to trust myself and I'm going to trust the universe, God, whatever word you want to use for that, and say, yes, this is my path. And then the other side of it is giving yourself the patience and freedom and grace to say, this might be the path for right now. However, every path just leads to another path. So don't get yourself so entrenched and rooted down that you're unable to pivot, or so locked into one thing that you're unable to make changes, because especially as business owners, we have to pivot. We have to stay adaptable, and we have to be able to say, this is what worked for this period of time. But as soon as those paradigms start changing or shifting, we have to be able to uproot and jump to a different opportunity or change the direction of our business and just adapt with the flow as it comes.
Mm-hmm. I love what you just shared, because I think in the past, I always thought when I made a choice, it was going to be permanent. So it was so heavy and big when I was making those choices. And so I love that you just shared, like, just be open that as entrepreneurs and business, we're constantly solving problems. And that means change and adaptability and flexibility and being open. So I love that you just shared that. And, you know,
and you're allowed to be permanent. It's just permanent, maybe a year, it might be 3 years or 5 years. Just exactly. If you set a time frame around it. And with the dealership, said there was an exit date. It came sooner than I had originally planned. However, you look at it and say, here's the opportunity. Here's the window that I'm giving myself to have free rein on this. And once you contextualize it with a start and an end date, it's really easy to say, okay, I'm going to give it my all for this and see where it goes. And more often than not, when you give something your full attention, you're going to get much greater results than you had anticipated or planned.
100%. And I'm curious, because you were in the industry for 6 years, that industry, that business, and you guys grew quickly. What are some testaments to that? Like, how did you guys grow so quick? What are some lessons you learned from that business that you can take forward with you?
So the big thing, I mean, everyone will tell you this, cars are not the most loved industry, right? You think of a car salesman, you think of, and these were pre-owned dealerships as well, and very reputable pre-owned dealerships. However, you think of the industry and the stigmas around it, and it's not an industry that people go into with a lot of trust. And so when I started out, you know, I was just doing right by my clients, right? Doing right by people I was working with. For me, it was about actually providing long-term value to help them enhance their credit, their lives, their buying power, rather than making an extra couple $100 on the deal, right? So that was where that started from. And I felt very in alignment with being able to correct that stigma in the industry. And I've been out for a year and a half now, and I still have people that'll reach out and say, oh, can you help me with this? Can you help me with this? And just point them back there and say, unfortunately, that's not in cards anymore. But that's how I approached it, was just from a value first lens and saying, here's recognizing what your distrusts are, what your fears are, and let's address those, right? Let's really address those. Let's pull the curtains back and find a baseline where we can communicate from and understand each other, and then be able to move forward with trust. And as soon as you're able to get on the same level as your client or your prospect and communicate in their language and just let them come to you and recognize, hey, this guy A knows what he's talking about, and B is actually on my side, right? Now you're able to negotiate from the same side of the table and put the problem on the other side. And that's a really powerful place to get to.
Yeah, I know trust is super important too. This is what I'm hearing from what you're sharing too. Like, how important is it to build trust, to break barriers in business?
Huge. It should be the number one thing that you're looking to accomplish. Right. And recognize in whatever industry that you're in, look at where the big trust barriers are, where are the big disconnects, right? Chat with people, whether it's prospects or clients or just people that you know, friends, about your industry, and figure out what the overall stigmas are. Like, when somebody talks about cars, everyone thinks they're going in or they're going to get a bad car or they're going to get ripped off. Right. And so for me, it was really easy to say, okay, great, let's address those two things. Let's show you all of the numbers. Let's show you all the paperwork. Let's show you what this looks like in a year from now, 3 years from now. And then, you know, who do you want to talk to? Who do you trust about cars, right? Do you have a mechanic that you trust? Let's go let them look at the car, right? So like little creative, easy solutions that created a whole lot of trust. And then it puts you on the same side of the table as them. And then so look at whatever industry you're in and just say, what are the big roadblocks? What are the big hurdles or gaps that people have in trust? And then come up with some ways to address those within, ideally, in the first meeting you're talking with somebody, because you're really going to have an opportunity to separate yourself from other people in your line of work.
Yeah, so important in business. And I think that's a lesson you learn as you get into business, right, on how to build those client relationships, that business really does move at the speed of trust. Like, that saying is so true. I'm curious, Stephen. Okay, that was a big part of your journey and you're doing what you're doing now, yet I feel like I knew you right when you were leaving the car dealerships and you went on a bit of a personal journey. So I don't know if that's true, to discover a little bit more about yourself and who you are and what you wanted. And that's when I saw you starting to really give back. I think that was always your nature in doing those kinds of things. Yet, did you ever go through in business? Because I feel like I went through entrepreneurship and I just got exhausted and burnt out because I was in the build for so long and I didn't come up for breath. And then I went through my own personal journey and that's when I made my pivot. So did that happen to you as well? Or I know you left because you were looking for something that you were more passionate about, but what else was going on for you, if you don't mind sharing?
For sure. And just on the giving back thing, that's something that I've done forever. Prior to opening the dealerships, I was actually like a big brother through an organization called Hall Services. So I had a little mentee 10-year-old that we would hang out once a week for 2 years. We were hanging out, which was really cool. That was really rewarding. I always say that I took more out of that than he did. And it was one of those interactions where I think it was our third time hanging out before he realized that I wasn't getting paid to be there with him. And then everything changed, right? And it was just like walls went down. Great. Let's just be pals. Let's be buddies. Let's go do stuff. So that was really cool. So that's where that started. And then currently I sit on the board for Bow River Charter of Chapter of Canadian Progress Club. So it's a group of guys and we do a bunch of fundraising to raise money for children's charities. We do a big golf tournament every year and then other little events throughout the year. And last year we raised just shy of $100,000 for children's charities, which is awesome. And then I just recently, within the last month, took a board position with Big Brothers Big Sisters. So constantly staying involved with that, giving back. And that's something that will pay back 10 times over. And you have no idea how it's coming back, right? But get out there, do good things for other people, be outward focused and focus on people other than yourself. It's really easy to sit at home and stew on what's not working or the roadblocks that are coming up in relationships or business and what's happening here or health. And it's simple to just take some time and get out of your own way and shift the focus onto somebody else. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, call it magic, call it whatever you want, the blocks in your own life start disappearing, right? And you realize, oh, this is actually really small and capable of getting over that. Getting back to the personal journey, I ended up leaving the dealerships just because, as I'm sure you've heard a lot, there's too many partners. And when there's too many people that are making executive decisions, direction is really difficult. And that just became exaggerated and we wanted different things out of it and we're walking different directions. Me being the operating partner and the smaller shareholder in the group, it wasn't a position of power, right? It was a great opportunity and a lot of respect for the other guys in the group there. It was just the path had run itself, right?
Yeah.
And I had no idea what to do. I had all these different ideas. And I've been somebody who always has my hands in every pocket that I can. So I was doing the day trading thing and I was exploring other opportunities for what I wanted my next business to be. And I knew that there was going to be a next business and I knew it was going to be something that I was doing by myself. I knew there was going to be no partners in it. And so I traveled for all of 2024. I was in Europe, all throughout Europe. I was all over the US and then a couple of weeks on Vancouver Island and then down as far south as Colombia. And just figuring out what is this next thing. And I looked back and going back to the trust thing, I realized, hey, I really liked being able to add value and break down trust barriers. I said, I want to be able to do that more. And then I recognized, hey, I really enjoyed the finance side. I really enjoyed working with numbers and looking at these long-term forecasts. And so that was really cool. So I said, hey, here's an opportunity. Right. I'm proficient with finance. I'm good at the trading. I have personal insurance and investment products that have done really well for me. I have the value here. And look, another industry that has a lot of trust problems with it. So I said, okay, let's start there. That's the path. So throughout this, I was doing some high ticket sales for organizations as I was remote traveling. Well, I was doing some certifications and licensing and skilling up and getting everything put together on the back end. And then months and months of brand design and starting to put the content and legal and accounting stuff together. It was one step at a time. And I'm somebody who says, I'm going to make up my mind. And before I have the moment to doubt myself, I'm going to make sure I'm like on step 5 or 6 and time and financially invested so that when that doubt comes in, I look back and I say, crap, I at least have to go through it to get this back out of it.
That's awesome.
No,
an entrepreneurial mindset right there.
Absolutely. Yep. Just do it and jump and get to a point with no return as fast as possible, because then you're forced to just keep running with it. And by the time you get the first income coming in, then that new wave of excitement comes back in and that reassurance to say, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. So the entrepreneurial journey is my favorite. It's energetic. It's exciting. And that's where my passion is.
Oh my gosh. I love it. We're going to have you back on just to talk about the entrepreneurial journey, because I want to get into talking about money. And I do want to acknowledge you, Stephen, for all of the giving back that you do. And I interview a lot of business people, and there's a very high correlation to people being successful with the amount that they give back or have that outward focused nature. And so just like way to go with everything that you're doing. It's super awesome. Okay, I want to talk about money. So let's pivot here a little bit, because I feel like you've seen the full spectrum of people in business who are thriving, I'm sure, and successful, and those people in business who can barely survive. And so my question I want to ask first is, what do you feel separates the business owners and entrepreneurs who can grow sustainably and keep money in their pockets from those who struggle with their own financial security?
The biggest thing is mindset, 100%. Self-worth and mindset are the two biggest things. And you said the word sustainable. The people who are very successful have a long-term mindset. They're not looking to make as much money in a short period of time as possible, because your relationship with money is just that. It's a relationship, right? And if you're somebody who spends just as much as you make, and it doesn't matter whether you make $1,000 or $10,000 or $100,000 a month, right? If you're spending it as fast as it's coming in, your relationship with money is one such that it is just burn and turn. The people who are able to say, here is my long-term focus, and we have smaller targets on a monthly scale, but we're able to do it consistently, that's really where the growth comes from. Because at the end of the day, it has absolutely nothing to do with how much you make. It has everything to do with how much you keep. And understanding that money is like water, and it has to flow, and it has to be constantly changing hands, then the conversation becomes, okay, how many times can it change hands and create little mini profit centers for me along the way, right? Because keeping $100 under your mattress with everything happening in the world these days, 2 years from now, that $100 is going to be worth 60 in real buying power, right? So holding on to these assets doesn't actually provide any benefit. However, looking at what you can do to keep things in your pocket, our biggest expenses as business owners is one of them is taxes. Right. And I'm not an accountant, so get professional accounting advice as well, but explore vehicles, right? Like different types of insurance products where you're able to keep that money in a growth account where you're protecting your business assets and protecting what you're actually investing in, while in a tax efficient strategy to keep it away from the big guy upstairs, right? So just being able to focus on all of these different things, and I'm sure we'll dive into it now, but it definitely starts with the mindset of just saying, hey, be it long-term focused and recognize that you're worth it to keep some things for yourself, right?
Oh my gosh, such great advice. I love that you just talked about the mindset, because I know we're going to talk about some practical things, yet I just think as an entrepreneur, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs around regulating the nervous system, for example, because I'm like, as hard as you work, if you don't have a regulated nervous system, it's going to be hard for you to attract abundance. And so I know that I want to talk to you about practical stuff, but I'm just curious, what other roadblocks do you see with people's mindset? Because I don't want to just gleam this topic, because I think it's actually really important.
It's hugely important. And so often mindset stems from self-worth. And you look at people who come up in, we'll use a couple of different examples, somebody who is born into a really wealthy family, who has never had to have any tough lessons around money or understands the concept of saving or budgeting. And then when they get on their own, these people often end up in really challenging times because they have absolutely no idea the concept of what saving money is, because they had to worry about it before. Versus people who come up, and whether it's from a tough family or a single parent where there's very little income coming in and they have to just trial by fire, learn how to do this and crash course themselves. And it's really funny because those people, even though they're coming from a less favorable starting point, often end up developing those skills and developing that mindset of paying yourself first. Of just asking the question, do I really need this? It's really easy. And it just let's go on Amazon and, oh, I'm going to get one thing. And then five or six items later, do we really need this? So that mindset of making yourself the priority and saying, A, I'm worth it to have money, right? I'm worth it to have a savings account. I'm worth it to have an investment portfolio, right? I am important enough to have these things, and I deserve to have financial breathing room and financial success. That's the starting point, and then creating those habits to reinforce that.
Yeah. Right?
And it starts with that discipline piece of, do I really need this? What are these little things? How many subscriptions do we have? Yeah. Right. If you have five or six subscriptions a month, without even knowing it, you're $150, $200 a month that's just disappearing. What's the real value that you're getting?
Yeah, so true. I gotta go look at my subscriptions after this. I'm sure I have a few that I'm like, Apple keeps choosing me, like dinging me for stuff. And I'm like, I don't even know what that's for, but whatever. It's such a good point. I'm curious because I look back at my journey and I think the problem I had was I was making money, yet I never had money at the end of the month because I just kept reinvesting it in my business. And I'm a bit of a risk taker without looking at the details, like this kind of attitude. What would some advice you would be that you would give people who are starting out in their financial journey, some habits? You spoke about habits, habits to start implementing now, so that you are, for example, paying yourself first. You are, for example, other things you might suggest. What would you suggest so that they don't get themselves into a scenario like I was, where every month I didn't have money, yet I was making it?
The easiest thing to do, and whenever I'm working with somebody from a planning perspective, I say take 30 days and track everything. No judgment. This isn't a beat yourself up competition. This is just an exercise to say, where is everything going? It's really easy for us to sit down and for everyone to make a budget. However, when we're going through it, we actually don't really know where the money is going. We probably eat out 4 or 5 more times. We probably go spend more money on clothes than you would ever put on a normal budgeting thing. Easy to take what you're making and put it down and say, I can allocate this. However, in reality and in practicality and in practice, we just as nature like to be social. We like to go out. We like to treat ourselves. So the first step is just unbiased, no judgment, track everything, right? And then be able to look at that. And then we'll sit down and say, what of this is necessary, right? What of this is actually do we need? And what of this is just, what can we scale back on? And then as far as prioritizing yourself, create a game with yourself, right? Make it fun. Set little targets and rewards for yourself where you say, hey, if I get X amount of dollars put away, when I hit that milestone, boom, now that's when I'm going to go out and buy new stuff from my closet, right? That's when I'm going to go out and treat myself, or we're going to go out and do this nice fancy dinner for date night, right? So put it as a reward system as opposed to that immediate gratification where now you're scrounging to find money for your investments or your savings at the end of the month. Just flip the paradigm, right? And say, use the fun stuff as a reward for being disciplined and for, hey, you know what? Maybe my goal is to only eat out once a week, right? At the end of the month, great. If you did that and you were eating out 2 or 3 times a week before that, you've just saved yourself hundreds of dollars, percent of that savings, and go splurge it. Go reward yourself. Absolutely. You deserve that. But shift the paradigm and says, when I do this, that is a positive, then I'm going to go reward myself as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah. And I'm curious because this thought just came to my mind because you're a risk taker just based on your story.
Huge.
Exactly. You're a huge risk taker. Yet what you're sharing is really practical, smart, responsible things to do with our money. Mm-hmm. So what's your take on when you're getting involved in business to kind of like lay all your chips on the line financially versus come out of the gates always at least being somewhat responsible? What's your take on that?
As I've been on both sides of that, you're absolutely right. I'm a huge risk taker. I recognize that my tolerance for risk is significantly higher than most. And so you have to be comfortable with what you're putting on the table and recognize that what you are putting into your business, especially in its early stages, it's not a guarantee, right? So that's it. And that question needs to be answered by on an individual basis. Right. And just look at it and say, hey, am I willing to lose this all and start over? Right. And if the answer is no, then that's great. It's not good, bad, wrong, one way or the other. It's just only be willing to put out there what you're actually willing to lose. Right.
Yeah.
Because if you go 100% of all your chips on the table, your options are you better freaking go after it until it works. And that's one of my favorite words is until, because it's like, how long does a baby take to walk? So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's doing it.
Yeah.
And if you're not there, or if you know you're half in on something, your chances of success are going to go down. So I recommend, for me, it's always worked to just go all in. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And it's really frustrating when it doesn't. However, that also builds that fortitude and that resilience to say, now in the future, right? And as we get older and as we still start progressing, it becomes easier and easier for us to keep our nest egg and keep some things off the table, so to say, right? Yeah. And so just recognize where you're at in your life. If you're young and you have a great idea, go for it. However, don't be gambling away and putting all your retirement money on black or red. And so it's a personal response to that. Just recognize your risk tolerance and where you're at, because there are no guarantees in this life.
Yeah, so true. Great answer. I have a high risk tolerance too. It's paid off in a lot of ways and not in some.
And there's some opportunities that have paid off in spades. And then there's other ones where it's whole crap. That's a pile of money that is just never coming back. So.
Yep. And so on this, because you talked about the nest egg. So, you know, obviously as business owners and entrepreneurs, we're wanting to grow and scale and have our money grow and scale and such that if there is uncertain times or things, we do have a bad year, we're still going to be okay. What would you suggest? Where should we start to put our money? What are some things we should start to do so that when you say build a nest egg, what does that even mean?
Yeah. And so business owners are in a really cool position, because what's different with the business owner is our income is often very unpredictable, right? So you have months where it's very profitable, and then you have months where it feels like we're scraping pennies together, right? And that's just part of what we take on, right? Is that unpredictability. So vehicles that are really good for business owners specifically are cash value life insurance, because you're able to own these policies through the corporation, where the business owner, yourself, you're still the life insured. So you're adding all this extra protection for yourself. These are really good in partnership situations. We know if something happens to partner A, then maybe the other guy doesn't want to be working with the guy's wife, right? So these things can be used to fund share transfers. They can be used to fund other things that need to happen. So if you're doing that, what you're able to do is allocate extra money towards these type of policies, and they're going to grow tax deferred. And now when you need to access that money, you're able to access it tax free again while you're living, right? Which is really good. So say, hey, we want to expand, we want to grow, we want to open a new location. Because we've over-contributed when times are really good in the business, now we have access to that and nobody's going to come after that. And they're all creditor protected and protected through probate. And so there's so many different benefits to these type of policies. And because the business has the capacity to change what they're allocating to it every month, right, it's really a powerful tool for them to use while protecting everything else in the business. And then from the business mindset thing, the biggest thing is set your baseline, right? Here's how much money I need for operating expenses, right? Recognizing that, again, sometimes we need more product. Sometimes things change. Sometimes we have other employee expenses, right? So recognize what is that floor that we need in there. And then it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to be keeping a whole lot of cash just above and beyond that in your account, right? So look at what that is. And if we're in scaling mode, maybe one month we're setting a target of adding 10%, right? Or adding 5%. And then saying that's our new minimum, right? And we never go under this amount, right? So there's lots of little tools that you can do. And it depends where you're at in the life cycle of your business and what the goals of the business are. Are we in growth mode, or are we in conservation mode, or are we at a point where we're looking at what is the exit plan from here? Because there are different tools that you're able to deploy that are going to be niche and specific to where you're at in your business life cycle.
Oh my gosh. I have so many questions based on what you just shared, and you are so knowledgeable on this. And Stephen, I know that we're going to be wrapping up soon. And so I feel like this episode is really meant to educate and share with people the mindset and let them know, don't put your head in the sand with this kind of stuff. This is really important stuff. And I put my head in the sand for many years, and I'm so grateful with the business I'm doing now. All these things you're talking about, I've been looking at. And so where can people find you so they can come and have these conversations? Because I know that once again, and you shared it, like you want to support people and you want to build that trust and answer their questions, right? And so where can they find you?
Yeah. So on email, Stephen at advise-me.ca. My website is advisemecanada.com, and then Instagram also at advisemecanada. Anywhere is good, and I'm happy to have these conversations and just provide that knowledge, because that's where it starts, right? These are topics that there's a whole lot of information that's moving around and a whole lot of different opinions, and it's really easy to just get overwhelmed and confused with all the information overload that's out there, because the reality is there are so many different options. And the right one is the right one for you. And the right one for you may not be the right one for me. And taking into account timeline of where you're at, what you have as far as assets, these things can change and they should change. So it's not a one solution fits all type of industry. And having somebody on your team who is able to just recognize where it is that you are right now, unbiased and unjudgmental, and then look at the goals and say, where are we going? And say, great, here's the best path to get you from A to B. And then when we get to B, guess what? Now we get to establish where C is, and it's probably going to change, right? Mm-hmm. So having somebody who's just going to be able to hold your hand and support you and recognize that, what are your goals as an individual? What are your goals as a business? And be able to get you just down from A to B, right? Let's get these goals done, and then let's reassess, because that's when things really start to get exciting.
Yeah, I love that. And so everybody go and reach out to Stephen and get a consultation, because honestly, what you're saying is so true too. There's so much information out there and it starts to get confusing. And I know myself, when I start to get bogged down by information, I kind of just take a step back and procrastinate versus lean in and attempt to find my answers. Mm-hmm. And so go to somebody who knows what they're talking about, which is yourself, and who's going to guide you in the right direction. And as you shared, it's going to be individualistic, right? For each person. That being said, I'm curious, just as we start to wrap up, what would be a financial strategy or habit that you believe every business owner should implement, no matter what stage they're at in the game?
For business, and business especially, I just love the three G's. It's generate, right? Every problem that you'll ever have in your business is solved by more sales. More sales are the answer. That's the cure-all. It is going to fix every problem that you've ever had. So first is generate. The second is grow. So take what you're doing, and we have a baseline. Anything above the baseline, we're growing, right? We're either doing that through insurance products that are protecting what we have and providing growth outlet. You're doing that through growing and scaling, as in more marketing, more employees, more reach, more output, or you can do corporate investments and invest in other opportunities through your business. And then the third is give back, just to complete that cycle. And it's when you start giving back, that's when the real return starts coming, because that's where the multipliers start coming in.
I love it. The three G's: generate, grow, and give back. Awesome, Stephen. Okay, so a few questions. Number one, you're at a new stage in your life. You're still very young, by the way, to have done everything you've done.
I turned 35 in a month from now. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, you're still very many chapters ahead of you. Yeah, what would you say now would be your definition of success?
Being able to wake up and define what my day looks like. I'm in a new relationship, which is going really well. I have a 6-month-old puppy, and being able to wake up and say, okay, what am I doing today? And that starts with my journaling rituals the night before I set myself up for a win. But being able to wake up and say, okay, I'm going to prioritize myself by going and getting a workout or a walk in the morning. And just say, what does my day look like? What would a perfect day look like for me? And not feeling like I have to be rushed or dragged to show up somewhere 9 to 5 or show up somewhere for other people. Having that autonomy of here's what I want to do is success for me right now.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. We're driven by freedom, a lot of us entrepreneurs, right? That freedom lifestyle.
It's so funny, because I'd rather work 22 hours a day for myself than 8 hours a day for somebody.
Yeah.
Else, right? As long as, and I've turned down since leaving the dealerships, I've turned down a bunch of really good offers. And I ask, and there's a few reasons for that. However, I ask them, like, okay, do I have to be somewhere regularly? And do I have to put in a slip that says, can I take this time off?
And if the answer is yes, you're like, my answer is no, then. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's not it.
To the point is, know what you want, and then everything else becomes easier. The choices become easier.
Absolutely. Okay. And the more you go through it, and the more risk that you take, you trust yourself more and more.
Yeah.
Right? And you recognize that if I make this decision, it's on me. I got to put the work in. I got to hustle. I got to grind. I have to do the things. However, the more you do that and succeed, the easier it gets to trust yourself.
So true. Okay, last question, my friend.
My tagline is called Unleashing Greatness Within. And so what would three tips be that you would give the listeners to unleash their inner greatness?
Oh, when you get an idea, jump on it and get so invested in it, time and money-wise, that you can't turn back. That's it. That's how I've done everything.
Just one mic drop. That's it.
Jump off the cliff and get invested so that you are forcing yourself to, because there's doubt is going to come, right? Uncertainty is going to come. This is life. It's a guarantee. Get yourself so invested that when it comes, you have the fortitude to push through it, right?
Oh my gosh.
That's the biggest thing. And just trust yourself, right? Trust yourself along the way. And then lastly, don't take shit so seriously. Have fun. It's a journey. And if you look at it as a stressful, chaotic thing, you're going to find stress and chaos, right? If you embrace the chaos, have some fun with it.
Big time. Me and my friend were just talking yesterday. We said our new motto is fun and play.
I love it. I love that
Stephen,
so much.
Thanks for being here. Just really appreciate you. I could just talk to you. I could drink our coffees and talk to you all morning, but I know you've got to run and we'll definitely have you back on down the road. Yet I just wanted to have you on so people could get to know you and get a sense of your character and just how genuine you are, that you really do want to serve people and support them with their finances. And having been on both sides of my finances being a disaster and them now improving and getting better, I want that for people who are going into business, right? If they can be proactive with their finances and learn from those of us, and you know what you're talking about, and you have a huge heart to help people. So I just encourage everybody to reach out to you and have a consultation, if anything, to start educating themselves and learning what they can do for themselves and their business and their family. And I know that you're the guy to do that. So just thanks for being on here today.
Thank you, Kelly. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. You're just so warm and welcoming all the time and outward focused. Ever since I've known you, you're on this mission and helping people everywhere you go. It's amazing to be here. I can't wait to be back to continue that conversation. And it's amazing to see what you're doing here. So keep going.
Awesome. Thanks, my friend. Have an awesome day.
You too.
Hi, I'm Tanya and this is Julie, and we are the founders of Coach Corp, your all-in-one solution for building and scaling a successful coaching business.
At Coach Corp, we provide you with everything you need in one place. You can house your courses, manage memberships, run email campaigns, and create stunning websites and funnels, all with our easy-to-use platform.
And it's not just about the software. We offer built-in coaching and mentorship, helping you implement best practices from certified NLP practitioners and story brand coaches. And that's just scratching the surface of what's inside.
And that's why we're excited to sponsor the Entrepreneurial Elevation podcast with Kelly Beveridge. Kelly is a thought leader who inspires and elevates entrepreneurs worldwide.
We believe in the power of community and continuous learning, and this podcast is a fantastic resource for any coach looking to truly grow their practice.
So join us on this journey. Tune into the Entrepreneurial Elevation podcast for insights and inspiration, and visit Coach Corp to transform your coaching business today.
Coach Corp, your path to coaching success.